I'd like to share with you some of my thoughts as an Egyptian, as somebody who works in media and very much interested in not just media, but the political setting and political communication. So if you allow me just to have like setting up the scene, I mean, as some of my colleagues mentioned, we have an issue and many challenges in Egypt. This was happening in the last at least decades, that we have increasing rates of poverty. We still have an issue of illiteracy. We have almost 48% of the population still illiterate. Unfortunately, the poverty rates getting higher, and it's exceeding 40%. So we have a setting of people who are desperate, who are unhappy, and at the same time we've experienced in the last years, since the 1952 coup d'etat, series of dictatorships. From 1952 until today, we only had four presidents, so you can imagine what is the situation. Anyway, for the sake of time, I'd like to focus on two things, my personal reflections and some of the things that I believe that have been either discarded or not given enough emphasis and have been marginalized in the media. Why, in the middle of this kind of chaos or chaotic situation in Egypt that remained for a long time, why do we Egyptians feel very proud? Let me highlight at least three of the things that I believe that it is a challenge, and we were able to have this kind of 18 days of walk to freedom. First, that we stood up for our rights and refused to be intimidated by the police force, and unfortunately the former regime has been using all possible means of silencing the public and playing with many issues to make them have this tamed, silenced and sort of obedient. And the second thing that we Egyptians, we formed human shields to protect properties and lives, protect different religions, and we have, it's a society that is full of different political colors, but in the middle of this fight and walk, we were having our solidarity, and I think that's the main reason why we succeeded at the end. And even at the end of the walk, the 18 days walk, the young people decided on their own to clean up Cairo, Alexandria, and many other cities. It was a personal initiative of the people because they felt that they've been fighting for something. Finally, we got rid of the regime, and now it's the time to clean and move on. During these periods of time, we experienced many unpleasant and very bad and full of misery and sorrow experiences, one of which we lost 300 young people. And they were subject to serious intimidation by the police force. But one thing that always remains, I think, something to be proud of is the fact that even the parents, most of the parents of those who died, they tried to mobilize the public to go on. They did not let go. And we had many things, songs to keep us going. And let me share with you one of them. In the name of Jesus and Muhammad, we unify our ranks. We'll keep protesting until the fall of the tyrant. And this was always going throughout. I think that, ironically, many international public opinion has been taken by surprise, as if it happened out of the blues, that this kind of revolution happened, as if it is not prepared for, or not happening, or building up. Let me share of the things why I think it's ironic to have people surprised. The political repression and the increase in poverty, unemployment, different kinds of unemployment, mismatch, disguise, and so on and so forth, corruption, as my colleague mentioned, nepotism, have become an integral component of the Egyptian society. Another thing that the government has changed the social contract, and this is something that is not given enough attention in media, that the government throughout the years, and this was one of the reasons to my mind that Egyptians have been less vibrant and vocal about their demands and needs, that the government have always assured that everything will be subsidized, so things are relatively cheaper. So it's sort of this kind of barter deal. I'm providing you the cheaper stuff, but you don't have any kind of human rights when it comes to voicing for freedom and so on. The government decided through a project that I think it was one of the cornerstone points that led to what has happened today, that they decided to remove subsidization gradually, which made the people suffer not just with the long list that I've mentioned and my colleagues mentioned, but more so increasing prices, which made people, the majority of the people, I would say 95% of the people, having serious issues of just finishing the day and having enough food for everybody. I also think that the credit of to this revolution goes to the workers and also goes to the increasing secular religious protests that evolved and developed over the period of time, especially when it comes to police brutality, because the police has been intimidating the public, increasingly causing many issues and many cases of people dying or disappearing, one of which is a very well-known journalist. Unfortunately, he disappeared more than 5 years ago. His name is Rida Halal. He was an eminent figure. He was an opposition, one of the opposition members, and he disappeared. So, and we have many cases like that. So this was building up to anger among the public. I think that the movements in general featured the leadership and participation, and they can, I would simply say that all colors, all religions had one cause of getting rid of Mubarak. Under Mubarak, the regime in Egypt, Egypt remained authoritarian, ruled by a narrow group of business elite, so they changed the military elite to business elite, taking advantage of everybody, and many cases, one of the very well-known cases is Ahmed Iz, who was gradually appointed and has become a leader in the NDP, National Democratic Party. He had monopoly over many of the industries, one of which is the iron and steel, making prices more expensive, making people more desperate, causing many economic repercussions that affected the people. I think when it comes to the challenges, as my colleague mentioned, it was having those wonderful countries saying that we are going to help you now, at a time that all of these countries, they were having discussions, negotiations with the Mubarak regime and not really pushing for any kind of change. And it was sort of deceiving sometimes that Egypt's ranking on political freedom and corruption stand, in contrast to the development, some progress in development took place, and it has been always sort of used as a flag that we are moving on, deceiving the public. The regime has always failed to produce and organize political structure, and that can be a necessity for a democracy and means to execute proper elections, making it very silenced, very divide and conquer. This was the issue, always having this kind of issue. Well, Mubarak has been always sort of including in the discourse that one of the reasons why he should stay there because he's keeping peace with our neighbors, and it will be an Islamic State, and it will be this kind of Muslim Brotherhood controlling and so on. So always playing with these things to maintain the status quo and the regime status quo. The third force is one of the things that has been used widely by the regime. And it is not surprising. The regime tried to create panic, silence everybody through, as I mentioned, divide and conquer behavior. The regime has also used different means to fight religious factions, diminish civil liberties, and block any path for freedom or democracy. We have many incidents of burning books and trying to limit the freedom of the people when it comes to authors, journalists, and so on. I think that to briefly sort of highlight what happened in the last few days in Egypt, Mubarak had a televised address on Thursday, 10th of February, trying to patronize the people, calling them his children, repeating the same old stories, apologizing for the state-sponsored violence, though later it releases from the Ministry of Interior that the presidential palace approved what was happening, so it was contrasting and exposing him in a way that he made him look even worse. He continued to his vain behavior and refused many attempts, even by the military, that he let go with power, because he always believed that there should be a way out of that, until an incident that is not usual in a society that can be generally described as non-violent, and a society that is usually very peaceful, that people raised the shoes, and it was the day that he felt that if you don't leave, you're going to be in trouble, and that's actually when the following day he disappeared and we had the other thing. I think that the revolution was empowered by pro-democracy activists from across the political spectrum. They had one cause, to change the regime and refuse any negotiations as long as Mubarak remained in office. Journalists and editors were always subject to daily arrests, threats, acts of violence. Even Wael Ghunaim, who is the young the Google's marketing, he was subject to rape. He was beaten, and he appeared in one of the most widely viewed programs in Egypt. It's called Ashira Masa'in, 10 p.m., and he talked about what happened, and he challenged the regime. And I think that what happened with Wael Ghunaim appearing on TV instigated further escalation, but it is not the main idea, but it was voicing out. And he was not released from this continuous arrest and beating and rape. without the interference, direct interference of Vice President, former Vice President Omar Suleiman, and he said that he was the one who helped to let him go, and this was another big scandal for Mubarak. I think that the Egyptian revolution reflects a clear generational difference. The older generation has always been brought up to walk, as we say in Arabic, gambel hate, near the wall, always trying to avoid any problems, any issues, partially because they have been over the years tamed to try not to avoid and not to break the red lines to maintain their living. I think the younger generation was able to rise above the mistakes of the past and above many of the problems that divided Egypt for decades and led to further issues of corruption and so on. I would say that my joy is endless, but my compassion for those who died. As I mentioned, we have 300 people died, at least. This is the controversial number, but at least confirmed 300 people. I think that we as Egyptians will always be indebted to those 300 people who died, but made us feel proud and living with dignity. Thank you.